For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive.
And kicking. Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times, if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother.
Come on. Zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
No, shut up.
You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
Fuck you, terrible.
That just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so uptight over nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly
lying. Why would I lie?
More attention.
Why would I lie?
More attention.
Need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Welcome to Punch Drunk Sports, where winners win. Guess what? We're winning today. Big winners doing big winning things. And as always, Jason Tebow, how are you?
Great, Sam. Good to see you guys. Good to see you, Johnny. Good to see you, Sammy. Good to see our guest here.
Our guest. Johnny, how are you doing? I'll bring in the guest. All right. And welcome our guest. I mean, he's got to be feeling good about himself right now. Got to be feeling good. Kareem Matthews, how are you, brother?
Kareem Matthews. Now, man. Let me be not the first probably at all, but from the show, let me be the first to congratulate you on Black History Month. We only have you on February's. Everybody kept asking for months. We got to get Kareem. We are so close to February.
I thought it was because you guys felt pressure because of Brian Flores.
I want to talk about that a lot.
I thought this was my Rooney Rule episode.
Johnny, we just got the name of the episode.
You guys don't get banned. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
This is not even going to air, right?
Well, it'll air
as soon as we get in trouble.
The real
one. Yeah, we did with Jeff Richards. We just had to get this out.
Sam's the John Elway in this situation, by the way. Look at him. He's just in his kitchen looking disheveled.
Big teeth.
Yeah. I've been out here since 7 o'clock. Y'all just showing up and shit.
That's the first time.
Seriously.
Hey, and that is proof of change right there. Black History Month, black guy was the first guy on time. Guys, this is growth.
Obviously, Kareem is doing tribute to Black History Month. And today, he is paying tribute to one of the greatest sitcoms of all time, Homeboys in Outer Space, which was a great show. I think it lasted 3 episodes.
Never saw that.
Hey, I didn't know they had a Martin Luther King Boulevard on the moon.
Was that Flex Alexander?
I think so, dude.
He said Homeboys. Oh, that's a good one, Sam.
We went way back, dog. We went to the way back machine.
Hilarious.
Nice, dude. Well, Kareem, it's been a while since I saw you. I think last time we talked, me and you would fleece me for a couple bucks. I think you won our bet. I paid you out, but I didn't want you to tell anybody because I wanted people to go nuts and just watch them say nasty shit about me. And I always pay my bets, dude. So.
Nah, he did. He did. That was a Lakers finishing better than the Clippers, right?
Yep.
For the season.
Yeah. You won.
I'm glad we didn't make that bet this year.
I mean, I got my opinions on that. Well, what story do you? There's so much to start on.
Let's start with Kareem. The reason he's here, not only because of the Rooney Rule of podcasting, and thank you for that. This is proof we know a black guy, everybody. But of all my friends,
we get 2 M-bombs this month, right? Is that what we get?
Yeah.
No.
That's not right. Wait, per podcast, right?
That is not the rule.
I thought that was the rule.
That was it, dude.
I thought in February we get 2 N-words per podcast, and you guys could just take your time in the crossing lanes as slow as you want.
I do not approve.
Just take your goddamn time in February.
Johnny asked. He goes,
"Hey, in March,
I don't feel comfortable asking this.
I don't approve.
You asked this." I'm like, Johnny, no, you can't do it.
I'm on the record. I do not approve this. I will not be named in this lawsuit.
Anyway. You're going to do it anyway, Kareem.
It's not that me saying no is going to stop anything.
That's where America needs to grow a little bit. But I want to say to you, congratulations, Kareem. You got the Rams shirt on. Of all my friends, you are my number one true blue Rams fan. You're not a bandwagoner. You either have season seats. You either have season seats or you should, because you go to every game. Do you have season
seats?
No,
we've had them. We've had them since.
Okay. Since well, I knew you had them at the. I knew you had them at the Coliseum. I didn't know if you flipped them over to the new place.
Yeah, nah, we did. And last season was no fans, so this is our first season in these.
Oh.
Yeah,
I How are your seats now?
Our seats are pretty good, man. We're in the 200 section. Like, there's five sections. Mm,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Those are good seats.
It's a gorgeous stadium. It's a gorgeous stadium.
No, it is. Obviously, it's going to be kinks. The main kink is the food.
That's what Tiana was telling me.
The food is trash. But really? Do you know why the food is trash?
Because it's Walmart?
No, because Jerry Jones has the catering contract. That was That was one of the provisions of letting the Rams come back to L.A. Like, the first couple years, we only got seven home games, and he got the catering for SoFi Stadium. So that's his trash-ass food in there. You know the you know how many restaurants would want to be in SoFi if they opened it up? Like, the Coliseum had better food.
Do you know how long that contract is for?
I don't know. But we need to buy his ass out.
Perpetuity.
St. Louis, like, $700 million to shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? We should pay Jerry Jones to give up that food contract, man. They fuck up pizza.
You know who else owns it with that? It's the Yankees and Jerry Jones. Isn't that great? Just fucking it up.
Fuck up
all the evil empires?
Yeah.
They should just have taco trucks all around the whole stadium.
Man.
And sushi. Taco trucks and sushi.
Can you imagine? And like, man, they had crispy, crunchy chicken at the Coliseum. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to fix that. That, for me, that's the number one. You know what I'm
How much is a beer? How much is a beer? $8?
No, 12 bucks? No. 15.
Shit,
I don't know. Did Kareem get our email about we're shifting this show to stadium food off of sports and into talking to
This is the people. Most sports we've talked in the last 2 months, you son of a bitch. Let the guy talk about hot dogs for a minute. Let him do his victory lap. He's got a new stadium. He's got a new stadium with shit food.
Got a new job somewhere.
Oh shit. Where's it? Jacksonville?
I don't know where he's leaving to. I couldn't get that part, but they said he's leaving Philly, I guess.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's already been gone.
Oh, Jacksonville?
That's what I think. He had a second interview yesterday.
Did you guys see that story earlier today that Byron Leftwich pulled out of talks with the Jaguars? I wonder what that's about.
Well, what it's about is he was told they were going to get rid of their GM and get a GM that he liked. And then they didn't fire their GM, so he took his name off because he didn't want to work for, I forget who their GM is.
Oh, no shit.
And they're probably Bruce Arians is like 2 minutes away from leaving anyways.
Now that Brady's gone. But probably still won't give it to him, though.
That's a cush job, though.
That's what fucking Brian Flores was talking about. You know what I mean? Like, as loud as the noise is right now, the owners still ain't changing. Like, they don't give a fuck because it's no.
But the owner of Miami denied it. He says that's not true. And you know he's lying. He's lying.
Eric Bieniemy has deserved the job for like half
for
a decade
years.
Now. That guy, I mean, right. He moved on.
And then, like, I'm a Rams fan, but like, giving our old coordinator that job instead of Raheem Morris, if you picking anybody off our staff, you picking him. You know what I'm saying?
And he was coach of the year before.
Right. And he can't get a look.
No, I'm with you. Listen, Kareem, obviously, you know, we have a lot of political correctness talks all the time. And I don't always buy into the notion that every time somebody says this, that it's like a form of racism. But I will say this for sure. When you take a look at his story and his lawsuit, and when they're like, we're going to pay you to lose games, and then they fire you for losing games, that to me is like, this guy's got a total, and they're going to have to explain why Bill Belichick is like, congratulations on getting the job. When
he hasn't even interviewed yet. That breaks so many rules. You know what I'm saying? That one text breaks like four of the major rules. I think it was Sam Ito, but he was saying how like you have a group text with your friends and you know they have another group text without you in it, but you can't prove it. You know what I'm saying? And then finally one day someone accidentally texts some shit about you to that group text.
I've said this, man.
I knew it.
I think black coaches and black quarterbacks have a way shorter leash for sure.
Right.
Way shorter leash. And like Vince Young's record, regardless of what he is in the locker room, you could say, like, we've heard a ton of people being cancerous in the locker room, right? What's his face for the Colts that came from Philly? Nobody liked him in his locker room. Dude, people are begging to give him another gig, right?
Baker.
Dude, that guy had a winning record, and he couldn't get another starting gig.
Now, and that's the same thing with the coaches. Like, once the coaches go out, they don't really get second chances, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, these young white coaches, like O'Donnell, you know what I mean? Like, McVay's whole tree is under 40, you know what I mean? And they getting coached. I mean, they're doing a good job. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they don't deserve an opportunity.
We'll get into that, but we'll get into that.
Well, let's get into it all.
No, but I just want to say that, like, even if you take a look at, like, Jim Caldwell, right? Is that his name, Johnny?
The coach.
Like, that guy was the only one to get Detroit into the playoffs. Matthew Stafford's only time in the playoff is with that guy, and he can't and even he get a win.
He got fired, though. He got fired as the only playoff coach. How do you do that?
I don't, like, dude, that's when I'm like, this stuff is like, you can't explain this away. I don't care how conservative of a sports talk radio you are, because, you know, we have both sides now. We have the super woke. Now you have the conservative radio talk, and they're always – taking the opposite side of everything. There's no way. I mean, who'd I see? What's his name? What's the name? What's his name? He used to be Whitlock. He's calling him a race baiter. And I'm like, I agree with a lot of stuff you say, Whitlock. But if you actually take a look at what this dude is saying, he's 100% correct. If you're paying the coach to lose the game, you can't fire him for losing games.
But even that, though, paying the coach to lose games is an issue. That
should be in a federal
investigation. Because imagine if that was a player. Imagine if that
what was happened when those basketball referees found out they were throwing games and all that shit. This is no different than that.
Nah, man. Absolutely.
No different than that.
People are betting on these games, and now the integrity is in question. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the Browns.
Especially now,
The Browns, too. Like, from now on, I'm betting them to lose every game. Fuck it.
And they imagine going defeated and getting Baker Mayfield. That's your quarterback.
They wanted Burrow.
I mean, all the years not to go defeated. That was it.
They wanted Burrow.
Yeah, but he didn't come out that year. He came out the next year.
Right. Because he's from Ohio.
No. It was Burroughs was last year. And then two years ago. Then Lawrence was this year. I can't believe nobody wants the Jags gig with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, like, you got places people are dying for.
It's a mess down there.
Right. I'm about to say the rest of the situation is shit, though. That's literally the only thing they have in place is him. The owners, you know what I mean? It's going to take a lot to fix that shit.
I was talking to Kareem before this about how – so you, Kareem, you said you were a fan of the Rams before they left.
Came back.
And then stayed. You were a St. Louis fan when they were in St. Louis.
I wasn't a St. Louis fan. I was a Rams fan.
A Rams, okay.
We never once called them St. Louis. You know what I'm saying? The whole time they were gone, they were just the Rams. So, yeah, my bad, but go ahead.
And you guys were what, showing up at Dodger games, like campaigning for them to come back to L.A.?
Because it was groups. It was groups of fans that stayed fans the whole time. You know, so I was telling Johnny, like, we went when the Dodgers played the Cardinals because we figured – this is St. Louis. You know, St. Louis will be watching this. We took over left field, like the whole left field with all these LA Rams fans dressed in blue and yellow, holding up signs like bring back the Rams. And I mean, we swear when they switched to the outfield, like we, you know what I'm saying? They saw us, you know what I mean?
Now, do you think you single-handedly brought the Rams back to LA? Do you think that did it?
Not single-handedly.
I do. I think Green's the whole reason.
No, but Kroenke actually acknowledged when they came back. Kroenke actually acknowledged those groups of people. Like they did more than That's one cool. event. And he actually acknowledged seeing them at things, you know what I mean? So he didn't say that's the reason they came back, but he was like, there's groups of people that have been wanting this, basically.
That's cool, man.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, like, listen, dude, I think the Rams are great. I think the stadium's great. I think the NFL made a giant mistake by not bringing the Raiders here and having the Chargers go to Vegas. They could have owned Vegas. You would have had two teams there that everyone who hated the Raiders would automatically root for the Rams.
Right.
And you would have a team in the Raiders that had a nice – I know Kroenke's like, I'm going to lose L.A. to the Raiders, but there's just a bunch of people who just hate the Raiders, and they would default go to the Rams. So you would actually have two teams that would be super energized instead of just – you know, the Rams are loved, and I feel bad for the Chargers because – that kid is
and they're good
dynamite. They're dynamite, but no one cares. Nobody cares.
I think they will start caring though, because they'll start winning. Like nobody cared when the Rams went back, came back.
It takes time, man.
Because we were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, and no one gave a fuck. Like I remember people saying, posting on Super Bowl Sunday, like we have a team in the Super Bowl, and no one cares. We actually went to that fucking game. You know what I'm saying? So we care. You know what I mean? But now you look, it's a totally different situation. This year for the Super Bowl, L.A. is hyped. You know what I mean?
Kareem, you were at the NFC Championship game, correct?
Yeah.
What was the vibe like there? Because out here in Chicagoland area, all you would hear, because it's just a regular AFC-NFC Championship weekend, and all you heard out here was the Niners dominated that fan base, that it was 60% Niners, 40% Rams in your own stadium. What was the vibe like when you were there?
It may have been 60-40. I would probably say 55-45. Like they were.
You felt you were in the minority.
Yeah, probably. Wow. You know what I mean? Probably.
That's amazing. Dude,
yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think the Rams will eventually get it. I think it's going to take the Chargers way longer. I just do. I think here's the football fan base in LA. Rams. 1A maybe, but I still think it's Raiders. And then a distant third is the Chargers. I just think it's going to be so hard for them.
Oh, it's still a gang of Niner fans out here too.
A lot.
We saw.
And it sucks for the Chargers because that's a good product. I love watching Herbert throw the ball, man. They have a fun team, a good stadium.
Exactly what they needed, dude.
Big time.
He's exactly what they need to make it happen. And with the Rams just basically – just spending their entire future on right now, which I respect, man.
And it's
I respect.
They're in the Super Bowl. They're in the Super Bowl in the home game.
Well, dude, it's a risk, though. You're right, man. I mean, think about it. They don't have a first-round pick for 3 or 4 years, is it, Kareem?
2024.
They're like 17 mil over the cap. I mean, next year.
We haven't had a first-round pick since Goff. Goff was our last first-round pick. We find dudes in the later rounds. You know what I mean? So
Patriots picked 30th for a decade. How many rings did they get?
Yeah, good point.
That's the thing.
We got to have a good GM.
With us getting to the bowl, this first round pick we give it, one of the first round picks we giving them for Goff is the last pick in the first round. That dude, whoever he is not going to make our team next year. he may make the team, but he's not going to start. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to look at what you got for him. That's the thing, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Now I want to ask you something, Kareem. So the Rams, you guys finally beat the Niners. You lost 6 games in a row to them.
Yes.
A big thing about the Super Bowl last time you guys went was that the backup quarterback for New England used to be a quarterback in the 49ers. And based on the preseason NFL show on HBO, Hard Knocks, he was listening to them, and he could tell that they were just basically running the 49ers offense. It was the same offense. And, like, everyone was like, McVay is so brilliant. And it's like, you're just running this dude's offense. Do you think that had something to do with why they beat you 6 in a row before this big game?
Well, no doubt. Shanahan knows McVay. You know, like they grew up together learning football. You know what I mean? So I feel like Shanahan has that big brother, little brother over him where it's like, I know everything you know, and I know a little bit more that you don't know. You know what I mean? So I just feel like every time McVay and all those losses, McVay is like closing the gap. Because really, we were supposed to beat them in week 18.
Yes.
Like they stole that week 18 game. You know what I mean? So if McVay had improved any bit more from week 18, we were going to beat them in the playoffs. And that's exactly what happened. Like Shanahan, no doubt, knows McVay like better than McVay knows himself about football. You know what I mean? Because shit, they both learned from Shanahan's dad, from Mike Shanahan. So it's, you know, it's that definitely plays a part. Yes. To answer your question.
I'm excited, dude, for this Super Bowl. I like both teams. They were both on my team. Okay. So it went Raiders. If the Raiders couldn't win, Buffalo. If the Buffalo couldn't win, then it was either going to be the Rams or Cincinnati, just because I love Joe Burrows.
I had him in our fantasy this year. He was my.
How did you finish?
I lost in the semifinals.
Oh yeah, you beat me, fuck.
Yeah, I put you out. Right.
You knocked me out. Fuck.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But yo, you brought up that last Super Bowl we went to. I think this Super Bowl is a lot like that last Super Bowl we went to, but now we're the Patriots and they're us. Like when we got there with Goff, like we were a little ahead of schedule. Like no one thought that. And we were playing the Patriots who had been there before, had the QB. I feel like this time it's reversed because I feel like that pressure of the Super Bowl kind of got to us. You know what I mean? Like Brady and Belichick were clowning Goff and McVay in the press conferences and shit. I feel like this year it's going to be like that for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow can probably handle it because he was with LSU and he's just Joe Cool. But the rest of those dudes, you know what I'm saying? They coming out here from Cincinnati for 2 weeks, they're not going to be able to take it. And then that line is no. that's not a professional line they playing with. They got him hurt last year.
Totally, dude. Totally.
I think he sacked 40 times. I think some shit.
The Titans sacked him 9 times. That's why KC lost, because they didn't take advantage of that line. But yeah, I mean, I respect Cincinnati, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like they have some areas that we can attack.
Are you going to the game?
Man, I wish. Yo, last time we got to go. You know what I'm saying? Because last time they picked like 2,000 season seaholders. Like they put you in a raffle. They put the season seaholders in a raffle. Okay. And then they picked however many. Last time they picked like 2,000. This year, they picked 25.
Are you? I was joking when I said 5. They picked, with all the PS, how would you have to pay in PSLs, by the way?
The license?
Yeah, personal seat license.
$5,000.
Before you could even buy your tickets, you had to pay $5,000.
But then you can pay it off, though.
Yeah, I bet they.
By the way, those are bullshit, dude. Those are PSLs are bullshit. The Panthers invented that as a way to make for Jerry Richardson to pay for the Panthers. And dude, if the team leaves, you get nothing. I mean, you know, they called you own this seat, but really, if the team leaves or if they decide they want to just null it, they can just nullify the contract.
Well, I mean, it's to help pay for the stadium. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they didn't have that at the Coliseum. Charge more for season ticket.
They didn't have that at the Coliseum.
Like, my point is 25 people get a rand. You think that's random? You think 25 people that are season ticket holders are random?
That's what I was going to say. So then they said that they were going to announce those 25 people today, Thursday, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My homeboy got the email yesterday saying we didn't get it.
Yeah, it's like Rob Lowe, Rebecca Romijn. Like, oh, what a coincidence. Wow.
Yeah.
And then, I know. And then,
fucking David Spade, Kate Quigley.
Like, even the suites, yo. Like, even if you had a suite, you can't get your suite for the Super Bowl. Like,
You just would get whatever fucking dumb fuck seats they give you because they give them the suites to fucking.
Oh, no. You're going to be up in the 500s. You're going to be up. The tickets they're going to sell those people are going to be up in the 500s. Like, there's some suites for the regular season that go for $500,000 for the season. For the Super Bowl, they're charging $750,000 for that suite. And for the whole season, it's $500,000. for all 8 home games and the playoffs.
And probably concerts in like college shit. Probably all that shit is included in the $500,000 the season.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I know when at the Staples Center, my buddy had one for the Clippers for the whole season, like right when the Staples Center opened, like 20 years ago, whatever, or the whatever it's called now, Bitcoin.org.
Right,
stadium.
Crypto, the crypt.
Yeah, well, we're going to get out of your shitty fucking house soon enough. But
I like that.
He had, man, it was like maybe like $250,000 for the whole season for Clippers, but it also included concerts and the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, I think this suite is just for the football game. You know what I mean? Okay. But it's $750 for the Super Bowl, yo. And then if it was, you can't even get your own suite. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I would do at the very last time I was in that suite and I knew someone else could be in there? I'd be fucking all up in that thing. Just fuck.
Rubbing your dick on the couch.
Yeah. Like COVID, all my COVID moves.
It's not going to be nothing but corporate, yo. Google.
Yeah. And they're just going to write that shit off. No one really pays for that. Somehow it just gets paid for. Yeah.
So I went to the All-Star game that was like 2 All-Stars ago. Like, I want to say like 15 years ago, like 2005, 2004, maybe. I forget what it was. That crowd there couldn't be more dead. And I'll tell you why. You guys know when you do stand-up shows and it's like, oh, it's for the industry and the crowds suck?
Yeah, right.
That's what these are. That's why they're always like Laker games, right? Like the whole bottom, everybody's just sitting there because they're all suits. Suits who just try to see who else is there, trying to see if there's some Instagram model they could cheat on their wife with, right? They don't get it. It's just status. All the real fans are up in the high rows, dude.
Right.
Going nuts. Go, yeah, because they pay for that ticket. And it's like, they're like, do my kids go to school or do I get Laker tickets? Laker, yes, right? And that's how they go with it, right? That's going to be the Super Bowl. I guarantee you're going to hear people.
That's how it is in North Carolina, too. We do it the opposite of a lot of schools. All the rich donors are down by the court, and everybody else, the students and everything, are like farther up. It sucks, man. It's just bad for the atmosphere.
It is. But for the Super Bowl, they don't give a fuck, though. You know what I mean? Like, the NFL literally took over SoFi. Like, nothing from the Rams regular season game is the same for the Super Bowl. Like, the PA dude, he doesn't get the work. The DJ they have, he doesn't get the work.
Like, I guess that's fair, right, though? Because they got to prepare this way before they know who's going to be in the Super Bowl, probably.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The one thing I really hate about when like, on a national level, they get rid of all the locals. In the NBA, I hate that our like local team, our local sports casters can't call the playoffs. We have to like in baseball, we got to get fucking Joe Buck.
Right. Who doesn't like us.
He hates the Dodgers.
He's a grumpy dude too. He's
him
just
and
grumpy.
John Smoltz. I'm like, fucking John Smoltz played for the Braves. Like, yeah. He can't get Mike Piazza up there.
We got that ass though. I can tell you that.
Oral?
Mike you Piazza wouldn't have helped you. Believe me.
In there,
the Braves won the World Series. If you didn't hear about that,
yeah, I did hear about it.
What do you think
the score is going to be? What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know, man. I respect Joe Burrow. You know what I'm saying? So I say 30-24 Rams.
I was going to say 30-21. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah, over. I was going to say. 30-21.
I think you guys are giving up 4, maybe 4.5 right now. And I think the over-under is about 51, 52.
Yeah.
And
so
you're
saying
what?
Rams over. But I'm not betting the points.
I was right on
4.5 is a scary number. Like, in that Niners game,
it's right at it.
We were giving 3.5 to the Niners. So they covered. You know what I'm saying? We won, but they covered. Whenever I bet the Rams in games like this, I just bet them straight win. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to give no points. I'll take a little less money, but just give me a straight win. It's probably going to be like
you're saying 30-24 Rams?
Yeah.
Sammy, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts, Sam?
I think it's going to be close. I don't think you can count out Joe Burrows. I'm going to go 31, 28.
Who?
Rams.
That's a good one too. I like that one. That was very possible.
Nerd Dorkenstein, what are your fucking thoughts?
Yeah, like I said,
there?
30-21. I think it might be a case of they're up by two scores late. I mean,
you're saying 30-21 Rams. Rams.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Let's talk about overtime. Do you think playoffs should have different overtime rules?
Wait, Jason, what?
Oh, Jason,
pick, Jason,
sorry. Please. I thought you were the first one to go. My
no, fuck you, Jason.
I'm going to go Rams. 17, 20.
65.
I'm going Rams 24.
Do it, Jason. Do
Rams
it.
Rams 24, Bengals 31.
Damn.
Oh.
Damn. Do it, bro.
He's slow rolling.
Now, let me say this. Let me also say this. 4 weeks ago, and I think I even talked about it on the show, 4 weeks ago, I picked the Bengals out of every team that was left in the NFL. I put $15 on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl, and it pays $195. And now they're in the Super Bowl 4 weeks later, two wins later, one win away from team winning $200 on a $15 bet. So it's hard for me to go against it. I want the Rams to win. If they don't win, I ain't hating on $200.
You
want
to get paid. Nah, I'm telling you, I've been with the Bengals the whole time because I said I had Burrow and fantasy, but I had them against the Titans and I had them against KC, straight win. So I've been fucking with the Bengals, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I mean, come on, I can't, you know, like they have a really cool story. We have a Hollywood story. Like if they won, it would be a cool story, but ours is gonna make the better movie, you know?
And I think the best uniforms, the Rams' new uniforms are fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
those off-white ones and those bubble letters and shit. You guys, your uniforms are great.
You have a Hall of Famer at every level of your defense.
Say that again?
You have a Hall of Famer at every level of your defense.
Except linebacker. Oh, Von
Miller?
Von, that's right.
More of an edge rusher than a linebacker.
We got young. I forgot about young Von. He's been a huge.
He ain't young, dog.
No, to me,
he's not old though. Ooh, when he hit Brady in the mouth, I loved that.
No, when we first got him, he didn't do shit for like the first few games. You know what I mean? I mean, nothing, like no tackles. But then once the playoffs hit, like he just hit another gear, yo. Like,
well, he was on a team that was shit in the, that had no
future.
Yeah, no reason, chance of winning it. So at his age, I'm sure it's like, dude, I'm slow and scared down. They're like, whoa, I'm home on the Rams. Let me see if I can crank it. Oh, it's a little hard to crank this.
Before we move on, can we talk about Stafford for just a few minutes? Like, how happy must this guy be that he got plucked out of Detroit?
Detroit.
I mean,
all them years, you know what I'm saying?
All those years, dude.
It's not like he came here and took 4 years to get there.
No.
This is his first year out.
1 year, dude.
And he's
amazing.
In the bowl. You know, he's like, so this is what other people do? Like,
it's amazing.
The look on his face when on that deflected interception, that last interception, the look on his face, you could just see it.
Oh, when Duke dropped it?
No. The last one, the deflected one, and then you guys got the ball back, and then you can kill the clock.
The game.
Exactly, yeah.
He's a big reason I'm rooting for them.
Almost threw. Because he almost threw one and the Niner dude just dropped it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was the turning point right there. If he
I'd like for Odell, I would like to see Odell Beckham win one.
See, I never liked Odell Beckham. I never liked him.
I don't hate him, but
like
I don't know
Vaughn.
Why you'd want him to. He seems to have just been a sissy bitch everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I like watching Josh Norman.
It looks
fight.
Like he got a bad rap, though, because all of a sudden he left Cleveland. He's back cool again because he's been huge for us. Him and Vaughn, you know what I mean? Like, cause we literally lost Robert Woods the day we signed Odell.
Yeah.
Like, we signed Odell in that practice, that next practice, Robert Woods blows out his ACL. You
That's
know
rough,
what I'm saying?
Man.
How do you talk to your children about the fact that the best wide receiver is a white guy? Is that hard for them to understand?
I know. That's why Cooper Kupp doesn't get his love. He should be an MVP candidate, man.
He's an ugly guy, though. He's not a good looking man.
He's not an ugly dude.
It's funny, though.
By the way, like, if he was on the show, he'd be the best looking guy on the show.
Hey, that has nothing to do. I'm not talking about Sam. Kareem's very good looking.
He'd be second behind me.
Fucking, he's one of those guys, though, right? He's one of those guys, right, that would never be in the NFL if it, or might, you know, might have gotten like a look. It would have taken longer for him to get there through the practice squad and shit, probably, if it wasn't for Tom Brady kind of making this Wes Welker type of guy a marketable person. Because remember, you would never see a short white dude.
Except for
like
that dude in Seattle.
He doesn't play that Welker position.
Steve Largent.
Yeah,
but
Cooper
Kupp
can run
like
every route. It doesn't matter.
Cooper Kupp. I mean, when did you see white receivers before?
Oh no!
The good old days, the 50s.
Yeah.
But again,
back when football meant something.
That goes back to our scouting. That's how we do. Like, we found he's a third round pick. You know what I mean? Like,
he looked good from the beginning, dude. Date from the jump.
I've been talking about him. I've been talking about him since
we got him and Robert Woods. We signed Robert Woods as a free agent from Buffalo, and then Cooper Kupp drafted Cooper Kupp the same year. And it was crazy because I heard Cooper Kupp earlier this week. He was giving Robert Woods love because he said when he got here as a rookie, Robert Woods took him under his wing. He's like, you know, receivers are not known to be like that. Your receivers are usually divas. You know what I'm saying? So for Robert Woods, he said he taught him how to be a professional on the field and off the field. I thought that was cool for Kupp to, like, Kupp's that kind of dude.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp, when he takes his helmet off, he looks like he knows how to build a barn. Like, with his bare hands, he can build a barn.
That's what he was going to say earlier. That's fun. What?
I think he did do something like that this offseason.
Build a barn?
Sure.
I think they said to work out in.
He looks like he churns his own butter, and I ain't talking about beating off.
But you
honest.
Know his girl.
I thought you were talking about beating off. I would have got. I would have laughed.
His girl.
Now Sam's listening. What do you say, Kareem?
No, I said his girl paid for him through college, like for him to focus on trying to get to the league.
Oh man, now he can never leave her. That sucks.
No, now she's cool though.
Yeah, but even if she's cool, you're an NFL dude, man. You're gonna want to like have a little variety in your life. And
wow,
now you're...
I'm sure he does. That's probably
come on, dude.
I don't know, dude. She paid for his college, bro. Come on, man. Hey, were you guys surprised that Brady retired? Were you guys surprised that Brady? I thought no way he retires after.
Well, I actually had started hearing rumors before the game when we played them. I heard people saying, like, if he lost, this could be his last game. I had never heard anything about that all season.
Huh.
Like, you figure he had at least one more in him. He's probably going to finish second in the MVP.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean,
usually dudes can't walk away at the top like that. You know what I mean? When you feel like you got something left, usually dudes can't let that go away, you know?
Like, I'm sure it was like the only thing that would make any sense is if he'd go back to the Pats. But I don't think that would ever happen.
Or to the Niners. Finish back at home in Frisco, you know what I'm saying?
I just don't think he wants to keep moving his family all around.
Where do they live now?
I mean,
I wouldn't doubt if he comes to L.A.
to live.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Probably already does. Him and his fucking whore wife. No offense.
What?
It says
what? Jason? Hello?
It's not Women History Month. It's not in Women History Month. We can say whatever we want about them. I've heard rumors recently of Aaron Rodgers to Tennessee. That'd be wild.
Yeah, they said he just bought a house out there.
Yeah, and they said it's the most common likely landing spot. Him really? With Julio Jones and A.J. Brown.
Well, Denver, oh, man. Too, though.
And
Denver.
With fucking Henry behind him. Ooh.
Denver, too. Because Denver hired his old coordinator from Green Bay, like
Denver.
Paul Hackett.
That's right.
And Denver got pieces. They got some cool receivers.
I just think he doesn't
him
want
and
to play the Colts. I just don't think he wants to play the Colts.
Yeah, why would you, dude? I mean, I would much rather play in Tennessee. Would
like,
you rather, if you're one of those teams, would you rather have Brady?
Both of those cities are warm compared to Green Bay.
He's talking about Denver.
Both of those cities are warm compared to Green Bay. He's been in Green Bay for 17 years.
I mean,
anything but
him.
Antarctica.
Right, he'll go to Alaska and be like,
that'd be,
oh, it's cool
and he's like,
here.
Man, I can take my coat off. It's hot up in this bitch.
This is barbecue weather.
No, yeah. Get the Frisbees out.
Fire up that grill.
Where's up? Call all my gay male friends. Let's have a not
says
gay
he's
party.
He's going to live in Miami is what it says here. That's a rumor that he's going to live
what?
In.
What?
It says he's going to live in a mansion in Miami is the rumor here.
Dude, great place, bro. If you can't do L.A. or San Diego, Miami's the other place, but you're paying way less in taxes. Well,
right.
I mean, dude,
no
listen,
taxes,
I'm a Raiders
right?
fan. Brady made his legacy off our fumble rule. Like that's what kicked this whole thing off.
Man, nah,
dude, I love that guy, man. I mean, dude, how can you not love Tom Brady?
I do not love Tom
absolutely
Brady.
Do not
you're
love
garbage,
him whatsoever.
He took
two Super Bowls.
He took one from us.
Me too. He took one from me, dude. And I took one from me
and then went to my division right after.
He took another one. Sam is talking about. You know what I'm saying? Then he took this last one 3 years ago, yo. Good riddance. I'm glad we got to end it.
That's right. That's respect on that, though.
He played
if you take a look at GOATs, right? GOATs of certain sports. There's a real argument that he's the GOATs of GOATs in terms of American sports.
Could be,
right?
Dude.
Right? I mean,
I'm giving him the GOAT of football, no doubt about it.
For sure. Yeah.
That's the thing. His lack of athleticism cannot allow me to give him the GOAT of GOATs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Like, there are some other GOATs in other sports.
Nah, dog.
There's only two people that you should even be thinking about. Younghoe Koo or my fucking J.J. Redick.
So the big three, I don't really know baseball if there's a clear-cut go. Like, I think people think Babe Ruth, you know, but then you like all these guys have all these different kind of like great stats. Hank Aaron.
Yeah, but Babe Ruth could have been a Hall of Famer as a pitcher, dude.
Deion Sanders.
Been a
Hall
of Famer as a pitcher.
No black people playing.
Yeah, that's a good point. But
that is a good point.
You got to treat it like steroids, I guess.
You know.
Yeah, we got to treat it like current baseball and the good old days.
Okay.
That's it.
I think there are three goats of goats, right? And Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady. I think those are the goats of goats.
And see, that's the thing. I can't argue with Jordan in basketball, but I can't not have goats without saying Kareem.
Well, that was going to be my point, okay? It's like, of those three, the one that is there, like, he's in, but you could be like, well, what about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? The other two guys, there's nobody close to them in what they did. When they were listing Tom Brady's, all his records, it's like most passing yards, most completions, most touchdowns.
He'll never be touched.
Wayne Gretzky's the exact same thing. More goals than anyone will ever be able to score again.
Hot ass daughter. She's dying.
No, but then my thing
Tom
is
Brady's kid's got a bazooka,
goat?
And he's only five, I think. He's got a bazooka. Okay?
What do you mean? He's got a big dick?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that guy from Barstool Sports put a picture up.
Tom Brady's baby's dick?
It's like he's running on the beach, and it's like dragon. You know?
Wait, what? So, wait, the guy from Barstool Sports basically published child nudity is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Really?
And Howard Stern had a mom and was like, dude, what are you doing? You can't do it. I agree with that. But, dude, the kid had a bazooka.
That's a great episode of have you seen that episode of Curb where – the Larry David compliments this guy on his son's large penis, and the guy like flips out on him. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing, man? You can't talk about my son's penis."
So Martha always sends me pictures of my daughter.
Other cocks. Oh, that's a whole different direction. go on.
So she sends me pictures, and she takes the best pictures of the kids. I'm not good at that, and like occasionally them will be like playing in the tub, like, they're splashing each other. It's so cute, right? Well, I show my buddy. I'm like, oh, look at my kid last night, the gig I did. I'm like, yo, look at this figure. Then it's a picture of them in the bath. I'm like, okay, get past that. Yeah, there's like five of them in a row. I'm like, don't look, dude.
It's weird.
Oh, God, there you go. But yeah, dude,
make that
so,
into a meme.
I mean, I love Tom Brady. I know, like I was a Knicks fan. And the reason I became a Clipper fan is because the Knicks treated Patrick Ewing like shit. At the end of his career, they like just push him out the door.
He played for the Sonics.
Yeah, and I'm lucky. I grew up in upstate New York.
Game?
My parents would never take me to New York to go watch a game. I loved Patrick Ewing. He's still to this day my favorite player of all time. I just love
of any sport.
Yeah, I mean he's my favorite player. He's like why I love basketball.
Mm. Uh-huh. That's how I feel
you
about
look
the
like him.
What?
Because you look like him.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Sweaty. I just sweat. That's all I do. Anywhere I walk, I'm just dripping in sweat.
You just wear Adidas and sweat.
I did love him. I look like that Georgetown team he was on. That
Dude,
was
that's why
my,
I love them. Hoya
that
Paranoia.
That was one of my favorite college teams ever. Reggie
I
Williams,
can't find that doc.
Michael Graham. Remember Michael Graham?
Oh, yeah, dude. All
the
of them. Reggie forward. Jackson.
Right. Michael Jackson.
Wingate. I love right. that team, dude. Right. I love Wingate. That team. And I grew up in Syracuse area, and I loved the Hoyas, dude. That was
Big
when
Monday.
I realized I loved all the bad guys, right? Because, dude, when you're in Orangeman country, Georgetown was the bad
enemy.
Guys, dude.
The enemy. Hell yeah. That was
I remember.
The height of the Big East right there. Because St. John's had Mark Jackson, Walter Berry, and Winnington.
Walter Berry, dude.
Villanova won it with Ed Pinckney and him on cocaine.
Thank God the good guys. Yeah. The good guys won in 82, though, at least. That's
what? What?
The good guys won in 82. James
Speaking
Worthy,
of cocaine,
Michael
do you remember
Jordan.
Michael on that Georgetown team? Michael Graham was like only good for a half, and that's why they called him Michael half a gram. That's they would say.
He left.
He never caught on.
He left shortly after that. Like he didn't finish at Georgetown. He didn't finish at like some D2 school.
Did you know Ewing was going to go to UNC, but he was worried about the KKK?
Yeah, imagine that team. Imagine that team.
Wow.
It wouldn't have been close. I can tell you that. Whatever happened,
they would just not annihilate.
You'd have had James Worthy and Ewing in the post,
and Jordan.
Yeah, and Jordan on the wing, of course.
And what's his name? Sam. They
Sam
used to shoot.
Sam
Perkins.
Sam Perkins.
Peepy Sam.
Matt Doherty.
25 years later, JJ Redick.
Ever, who I if I could be any player, even though he's not my favorite player, but he's one of my favorite. If I could be Sean Kemp with a 3-point shot. That's who I would be. If they go, what kind of game and body and build would you want? Sean Kemp, 3-point shot, and I'm just stealing souls all day. That's all I'm doing. Like, is that guy in the Hall of Fame? That dude was all decade. How is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Nah, he has some of the sweetest dunks of all time.
Oh,
yo.
Posterizing. That my game would be probably.
Dude and then pointed at him like this.
Oh, yeah, double. Dude. Gave him the double point.
Yeah.
Kind of like laughing, though. Like, gotcha, motherfucker. Like, you know when you would scare your buddy? Now. You would break in your buddy's house and hide in his closet, and then you would pop out and scare him? That's the kind of way he looked at him. He's like, gotcha, motherfucker.
You know, that's kind of what Giannis is like when his shot's on. Like, he's like Sean Kemp's body. With a 3-point shot when he's shooting well. Like he had his shot against the Hornets a couple weeks back and just slaughtered us, dude. When he can shoot the three, he's
unstoppable.
I still think he's as fluid as Sean Kemp was. Like Sean Kemp moved like a guard.
I don't know, man. Maybe. Giannis does some stuff that I don't know. Maybe
I think
right.
My game, if I could like describe the way I would want my game to be, it would be like old, like towards the end of his career, Bill Cartwright, but like both MCLs blown out. I think that's how
would
I describe the way I play.
Throw form? Would you hold it way high?
Yeah.
On the free throw?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, looked like he just didn't want his hands to be in frame.
He tried to beat the shit out of Michael Jordan if you ever talk to him like that again. He's like, dude, you ever talk to me like that again?
That's
I'm
like,
fuck who you are.
Yeah.
I'll beat the fuck out of you. Imagine that slow motion beating that was.
Yeah, you
got
to catch him first, though. You'd never catch Michael Jordan.
He could get, look, all you got to do is get out of the gym, but he could reach you from pretty much anywhere, though. If he's
like
half court, he could get you. He could get to you.
He's like that guy from Street Fighter, the Thai boxer that could kick you on the other
him.
Side of the street.
Yeah.
Y'all see him. I used to
he's in like a what was that scary movie where the girl got sucked into the funny. TV?
I think it's called
Poltergeist.
Scary movie.
Poltergeist, yeah. He's like the tree and Poltergeist.
Half,
it just keeps reaching out. What's the score?
55-51 Clippers up 4 with a minute left.
Halftime before the first half.
Let's get into this. Let's talk.
Gotta be.
This is the worst I've ever felt about a Laker team. This is the first Laker team I feel like I can't root for. I mean,
what do you think it is? What? Who are you blaming this on?
It's a lot. Everyone, it's multiple people gets a slice of this blame pie. You know what I'm saying? But
Blame Pie. Also, a good name for this episode is Blame Pie.
The chemistry's just not right. You know what I mean? And so many people are responsible for that. Pelinka gets a slice. LeBron gets a slice. Jeannie Buss gets a slice. Russ, there's a piece for Russ. AD, some for AD.
Power rank it, though. Let's power rank it. Power rank whose fault it is. And then I'll give you the correct ranking.
Okay, on or off the court?
By the way, you could add that to basically.
Why even ask him?
Yeah.
Just any give him the goddamn ask. Correct ranking.
on or off the court, though. You know what I'm saying? On the court, I feel like it's Russ and AD's fault. Off the court, I feel like it's Pelinka and LeBron's fault for putting this shit together. You know
there
what
we
saying?
Go. There we go. There we go. I blame. I put so much of this. If I had to power rank it, I would say GM LeBron, right? That includes Pelinka. Then I would put AD. Then I would put Russell Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook is meant to come in at the third cog, and he is who he is. I mean, you know who you are when you're trading for him. And who forces this trade? LeBron James. LeBron right. James has made.
He's like, a terrible GM. He's a terrible GM.
Dude, he fucked. Like, dude, the reason he left Miami is because they wouldn't sign the people he wanted them to sign. Pat Riley's right. like, fuck you. I put winners together.
And that's the thing. That's what Pelinka should have done, or whoever our GM was. And that's the other thing. Like, the Lakers got beef with Jerry West now. You know what I'm saying? That's an issue. Like, Jeannie Buss and Jerry West got, well, whoever in Jerry West got beef. They took his season seats. You know what I'm saying? And he's known for putting together champions and champion Laker teams.
That's like, shitty.
Pelinka
That's
loved
shitty to do, dude.
Big time, man. Dude. And didn't tell him. Didn't even tell him. Just
they
did
They text
it.
His wife. They text his wife. They couldn't even text him.
Terrible.
You know what I'm saying? And then that's something you talk to him about. You don't even text. Like, bring him in and, you know, let's clear the air. Even if you're going to take the seats, talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that y'all owe that man so much.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
I mean,
it's just dysfunctional in the organization right now. And that's why it's so hard for me to root for them. The second game of the season, AD and Dwight fought on the sideline. At that moment, I said, this team can't win. This is the fifth quarter of the season, and it's already something going on that y'all feel like I need to fire off on.
Dude, imagine how good AD could be if he had Kevin Garnett's mindset, or even Tim Duncan's mindset.
Or even Giannis's.
It's just like, dude, this guy got – that's why he – dude, he basically – you should have known you were in trouble when that guy took the max 5 years instead of doing what everybody else is, which is three – and then I'll after that to ask for more money. You just knew he was like, dude, I won. I'm fucking out,
I'm
bro.
You know what? Though for I said when we lost to Phoenix at the end of last year, I said I would trade AD right now for Dame. And that now looking at it, Dame is hurt. But who knows if he had been would have been hurt.
I'll tell you the trade you make, because it could be really interesting. You trade him to Suns. For Deontay, because he's a more traditional. Because Deontay wants more money.
The Suns ain't gonna do that. The Suns are not. Why would they? They're about to go to the finals. Because
this dude's locked down. This guy wants more money. He's not gonna fucking. That Sun owner's for some reason doesn't want to give that guy.
You don't like black people.
What? This whole team is black except for Booker, who's half black.
Because it's basketball, but they had some shit about him. He having a Dan Snyder type of lawsuit coming up on him. You didn't hear about that?
Yeah, I just think that they like to get – this is what they do with bad owners, is they get rid of bad owners by fucking – like, did you hear the new stuff with Snyder? He's like – this chick's like, he asked me to go into his car. I'm like, bitch. I mean, right. They just – they want him out because he's a shitty, shitty owner.
What is it about?
The one out is the Dolphins and Browns owner. They fixing games. I want them out. I bet on these
games. I totally agree with that, dude.
I bet $10 a week on this shit.
Yeah, that's a hard $10. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Fucking union commercials, you got bit booked for that shit?
Right, and they fucking fixing games?
Yeah, dude, that is like, that stuff that ruins, that's like a real scandal, dude.
No, for
you're
real.
Fixing games. I like, we know you want to lose. We know you want to lose, right? We know you want to lose because you want a higher draft pick. But to be paid, to pay the coach
to do it,
is like awful.
You you've crossed the line.
Yeah.
Again,
well, and then they got the draft. They got the draft pick they wanted.
Imagine.
And then a year and a half later, they realized, hey, we don't want this guy. And then the guy they've been paying to tank starts winning with this guy.
Imagine if they had paid.
Why'd you turn this program around? You turned the whole program around. He goes, I'm paid to coach. That's what you did. Well, we paid, you know, yeah, you, well, you tank. He goes, that was back then. We got the picks that you wanted, and now we're winning with them. And they go, you're lucky in February.
You gotta, I mean, dude, you gotta get rid of them, dude. You gotta get rid of them.
Those owners.
Yeah, I mean, Miami, for sure, dude. For sure.
Like they did Sterling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They forced his ass out.
The Knicks would love that, too. If they could get like some trans looking chick. To get like Dolan to drop a couple N bombs in a karaoke fucking recording, they would love to get rid of that guy.
Yeah,
they would love because he's ran the Knicks into the ground. Well, dude, when you're a pro, you're the premier basketball team or brand in New York, and your team has to practice 2 hours away because you don't want to buy a practice facility in New York, and you're a billionaire, dude. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Nah.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
I don't think they should allow gyms.
Kids of rich people to run anything. I like, dude, I like the buses. I've always liked the buses. You know, I think the problem with the Lakers is this. This is my opinion. They just don't let anybody grow. They just don't. It's like they want to be like baseball where they're just like Frankensteining great players together. But they just, that doesn't mean they're going to play well together. You can have all the talent. They just don't gel. And you guys have sent out all these second round picks like all over the league.
No. Or you mean number two picks of the draft?
Yeah.
Not second round.
Yeah, number two picks. Sorry.
Right. Lonzo, B.I., Randall, Ingram. We can start that. I want them all back now.
LeBron is just, I mean, look what he did with Wiggins. As soon as Wiggins went to a competent team, dude, he started playing great. Like, dude, just think about what the problem was with LeBron in Cleveland. They couldn't guard anybody on the wing. Who would have done that?
Wiggins
would have been your third guy. He's flourishing as the third guy and then Golden State and even the fourth guy. Dude, you have you, Kyrie, and Wiggins, and you force them to trade for Kevin Love. And you're like, dude, that was all LeBron. And as soon as it goes to shit, the narrative's LeBron's just doing all he can. And it's so funny how like Russell Westbrook is a stat stuffer, but LeBron is just, look, he's trying, he's getting it done. And both are getting triple doubles, but one is a stat stuffer and the other guy is just getting no help.
That's a very good point. Cause I always say LeBron's numbers don't have the same impact on the game no more. Like before, back in the day, LeBron got a triple double, you knew the Cavs won. But now LeBron can get quits a triple double, we can get fleeced by 30. By Memphis, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, that guy quits on teams. He quit on Cleveland in the Boston game when everyone found out Delonte, whatever his name was, Delonte West was banging his mom, right?
And now Delonte's homeless.
Well, I think they gave him a job in
at a rehab.
I think they gave him a job in Dallas. But and by the way, so I forget what I forget what his name is. He was on the NBA Jump forever. Marash or whatever his name is. He's a really great basketball mind. He's on NBA radio all the time. He was at the Comedy Store and he was telling me that a big reason Kyrie wanted out of Cleveland is because LeBron banged his girl. And then that becomes like the Cleveland fucking cucks, man. You had you had while Wes banging LeBron's mom, then you had LeBron banging Kyrie Irving's girl, and then you had Andrew Bynum banging the coach's girl. I mean, they just like, dude, we say it here. I say it here all the time. There's 20 chicks in the entire state of Ohio you can't stick your dick in. That's it. The players and the coaches, chicks, stay away from them.
That's got to be the whole NBA, though. I bet the whole NBA is just all fucking everybody.
Nah, it is, because that's how, like, Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes, I guess, you know, they do all fuck with.
Barnes' ex is a smoke show.
Derek Fisher's fucking with her now. And then
they're married.
Derek Fisher's first baby mama is Marshall Faulk's ex.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
That's every Kanye West song, by the way.
Well, yeah.
You said fuck with Usher. I don't care. I still love
it. If you made a pro, like an all-pro team in any one of the big three sports, you've dated a Kardashian. They're all Eskimo brothers.
But now they're doing guys with shitty tattoos.
Note to self.
It's like they held a meeting. They're like, okay, our blackface is done.
Travis Barker.
Yeah. Travis Barker's cool as shit. But fucking, what's his name?
Pete Davidson.
I have none against him personally, but the fact that these all chicks are all fighting for him, like, he's so hot. You're like, he literally is not.
You know what that means?
Yeah, but he's
bringing dick to the party.
He's also like,
over a dude, dick is
women
involved.
Love a project. Women love a project.
No, women love dick.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, they really
and
do.
Fame.
I mean, even when it's gutter dick.
They love all that too, but eventually they're going to need some dick. Like, you can't just hold them with money. You know what I'm saying?
That's when I bring my boy in. You know what I mean?
Money
I handle
will
all the other shit.
Them in.
So, Jason, you handle all the money and someone else brings the
emotional
dick.
Emotional connection, finances, all that. And then when they go, hey, you know what? Everything's so perfect. I need some fucking dick now. I go, let me call Kareem.
Ever done that comedy club in Huntington Beach? The room? The rec room?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The guy who runs it is a great fucking dude. A great fucking guy. Do you know what he's famous for, bro? You're going to laugh when you hear this.
No, I do not.
I hope somebody tells us.
His name's Kenny Weber. He's a great guy. Kenny Weber is a great guy.
What the fuck is he famous for?
I know. Jesus Christ, say it.
He is famous for being the cuck guy in all the pornos. Like, he plays the actor.
That just sits there and is like,
hey, you're banging my girl, bro. Good man. Oh, damn. Look me in the eye, dude, when you bang my lady. Like, he's famous for that. And I'm like, that's cool, bro.
Man,
I mean,
look
like,
me in the eye.
The thumbnail is always the guy, like, right by his girl's pussy getting fucked. And he's like,
yeah, where he's doing this.
Did I do that?
He said, look me in the eye.
I could have got a lemon. You won't get a lemon. Sam, did you hear about this? Listen to this. Speaking of goats, this is Patrick Ewing is my Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders to me was my fucking intro to the Falcons. I like the Falcons before I got him, but this is baller shit. There's some chick who wrote a book about how to trap and get pregnant by professional athletes,
right,
where to hang out, what to do. I believe she's got two different baby daddies that are both ex-athletes. Yeah. Deion Sanders, head coach Jackson State, hires this woman to come in and give a seminar to his fucking players.
Mm, love it.
That's reverse engineering. That's the future of coaching right there. 100%. That's the future of coaching right there.
And, dude, I mean, like, you want to talk about where it's really going nuts? Johnny's team. They got two dudes who are super young. They're both getting, like, locked down. P.J. Washington.
P.J. Washington,
right?
Yeah. And what
do you mean locked
Oubre
down?
Oubre or LaMelo? Who are you talking about?
LaMelo.
Yeah.
And Oubre, too?
Well, I had heard that, but I'm not totally sure. But yeah, dude, I love LaMelo, by the way. He went for 38 last night.
Down.
He's a bad dude, bro. He's a bad motherfucker.
He should have been on the All-Star team. He's a snub.
Yeah,
I can't believe. Oh, yeah. He totally should be on the All-Star team.
He
didn't make it.
No.
So what's your take on Zion Williams, Kareem?
Oh, man. He's the new Greg Oden. He's Greg Oden 2.0.
That's a good comparison.
That's my new thing. Remember Zion? Because Ja's out there giving that work. And yeah. Ja was the consolation prize. Just like KD was the consolation prize for Greg Oden. Oh, you didn't get Greg Oden? Okay, fuck it. Take KD.
I think he's throwing tantrums, dude. I really do think he's throwing a tantrum. I don't think he likes new. I think he's emotionally immature.
Zion?
He's like 19, 20.
I think he's a classic example. I think he's a classic example of somebody that should have stayed in college for 4 years, even though he had the physical capabilities to go right out of high school. That is a dude who mentally could have used three or four years in college to mature.
He's throwing a spat, dude.
Yeah, I'm about to say, when you get 330, at 330, I don't give a fuck where your mind is. You're not going to be able to play in the league at 330. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Like, when you get fat, it's a wrap. Like, you're not going to lose that
But you're
weight.
At fat at 20, bro. Like, you're fat at 20.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's downhill from
and
here,
and that
man.
Multiplies like, the wear on your joints, bro, your knees.
That's why he's always hurt. That's why he can't get those feet right. You know what I'm saying? Because he's carrying all that weight. You're
so
not
the question
tell
is,
me.
Does New Orleans move him? I would
give
get
me Ben Simmons. I trade you for Ben Simmons right now.
Really?
Give me Ben Simmons and something else off that Philly roster, and let's make this deal happen.
Hard to trade a hurt guy. It's hard to trade an injured dude.
Right. Nah, it is.
But I bet you'll watch when that dude comes back real quick. Remember, because he was in the bubble and they sent him home? And I go, oh, this dude's like emotionally immature right now. He is like, he wants to be home with his mommy.
He don't give a fuck. He got his money. All he want to do is eat now. Like, Ja, you can tell Ja has been working on his game. You know what I'm saying?
Zion, you know, Memphis never gets enough credit for being an organization that just fields a great team. I mean, the fucking...
Not a great team, but they
No,
tried
dude, the
hard.
Old Memphis team that had...
With Powell.
With Powell. Not Powell, but his brother. And then they had...
Marcus
the dude
Hall.
Who looked like Godzilla's kid. You remember that guy? Baby Godzilla?
Johnny Woodard.
Who's the guy that... Oh, Zach...
Randolph.
Randolph. Go look up, Johnny. We did this before.
Yeah,
look
we already
up
did
Baby
it.
Godzilla and tell me it doesn't look like Zach Randolph. Like, that team was great, dude. That was a grindhouse team. They were fun to watch.
And Zeke looks like an Ewok, too.
He looks like Baby Godzilla.
No, that's a real one. Zeke looking like an Ewok is Godzilla Jr., right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a good band name. Or no, it's Dinosaur Jr.
Carmelo
is her. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I used to date a girl that looked exactly like that. She's a little fat.
Don't you gotta open up another fucking thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You're talking about Zach Randolph.
And, dude, what about those old – dude, do you guys think Rasheed Wallace ends up in the Hall of Fame? He's got to, right? I mean, he won a championship with, I think, Boston and Detroit.
He's not getting in.
I don't know.
I love him.
Is T-Mac in?
Is T-Mac in? Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he just got in.
Okay.
What about that Baseball Hall of Fame, dude? Not putting any Roy guys in again. What do you think
it's
ever gonna?
So stupid.
They gotta figure out
Big
a way
Poppy
to do it.
Big Poppy was a Roy dude, though.
Yeah,
Big
he
Poppy
was.
They all were.
Yeah. Big Poppy tested positive. You know what,
you know what it is, man.
And he was a slap hitter when he came up with the Twins. Don't tell me Big Poppy wasn't taking nothing.
Yeah. And he looked like he had
on
like
that
a
list.
He looked like he had a ham like stuffed in his shirt by the time. Remember, he just had
that was after that, Sam.
No, you remember they said all these guys had tested positive, but they couldn't say who they were.
Yeah.
He was in it.
Which is the whole reason that like most of these guys got busted is that they were on that list. And you never found out about it.
Right. But what was that shit called again?
Who?
But they had a name for it though.
It was a list of guys who had actually tested positive for steroids.
Because a dude wrote a book.
Oh, yeah, that list was called the 100 Best Hitters in Baseball. The Top 100 Hitters and Pitchers of Baseball list.
The Mitchell Report, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, the All-Star list. You're talking about the All-Star list? Yeah, it was the All Star list.
Barry Bonds
is a Hall of Famer. So is
and an asshole.
So is Roger. Roger Clemens was an asshole too.
So I mean, Ty Cobb was a racist. He's in.
Dude, well, basically know, everybody before like 1960 was a racist, and they're all.
The story that guy basically made up that whole story about Ty Cobb, that to sell books and stuff like that, and it wasn't real.
What story?
About him, Ty Cobb being a piece of shit.
Like, no, dude, Ty Cobb, cool people hated.
There was like
Ty
a
Cobb,
zillion stories.
There is a conspiracy. There's this. They had this competition based on who had like the highest. I think it was on base percentage. And they would get a car at the end of the year. And people hated Ty Cobb so much that these two teams let this guy get on base every time. Just let the ball go between their legs and shit like that. because they hated Ty Cobb. They didn't want him.
They let the worst sap that needed a car the most get a fucking.
No, it was just a guy that was really close with him. And they all wanted him to win, like every team. So they just let him get it. It was a big, scandal, actually. Like the Kareem scandal or something.
Kareem, let me ask you this kind of just real quick about this whole Brian Flores thing. You're pretty you familiar with the whole story, right?
Yes.
Now, reading it over the last couple of days, do you think, legitimate question here, as, you know, a guy my age, black man, black American, hearing all of this stuff, do you think that there is, and maybe this might expose that there might be racism in America the last 50 or 60 years.
What? No.
You don't think so?
No, not at all.
See, nah, that's what I was fucking saying. I was saying the same thing. And my buddy being like, man, this is racist. This might have something to do with race.
Clearly, I wasn't surprised. You know what I mean? But again, I say it's not going to change because the owners don't have no repercussions. Like, it's nobody.
I was surprised at the $100,000 for a loss. I was surprised at.
They paid that much?
Well, that they would even have the audacity to do that, even have that anybody be able to have that. Because you can weaponize that real quick.
Yeah,
like exactly. Right now, I can go like, hey, can I get that in writing? Or can you text me that or anything like that? And now you can get, you know, that's, you could really weaponize just the offer, even if it's said in jest.
But I just think that's the audacity of these owners. Like, that's how much they feel like we're untouchable, that they would, because it's not just one owner. It's multiple owners accused.
Now, do you think they would have made that same offer to a white coach?
Mm.
Two different black coaches have come out and said, hey, they threw us some chump change to throw the season off. And if it comes
then
down,
we fired. Then we got fired.
Both of them. Now, do you think these older, you know, rich people would have, white people would have made that same kind of, what? I mean, what? You're going to give me $300,000? I got a fucking $5 million a year contract. You're going to give me $300,000 for my integrity?
Right.
And by the way, you can also blackmail me with this if I do take it.
I
may never coach again.
I would throw it right now.
All these white coaches for the Lions been tanking for free.
Yeah. And
isn't
the Jets.
That crazy? Like, they try to get rid of all these owners, yet they never try to get rid of the Detroit Lions owner that is just wasting. That base is so dedicated that team. They show up knowing a slot. But at least they played hard this year.
I didn't believe how deep. They were one of the deeper teams that came to SoFi. I couldn't believe it. I was like, all these people came out for this trash ass team.
But they always played hard. No matter, you can't take that away.
No, they came out with all those gimmicks against us. They jumped out on us. Jalen Ramsey had to pick Goff off in the end zone to secure that game.
At all the games, home games you went to, because like we were saying earlier, Los Angeles is notorious for being a terrible home fan base. In particular with football, what was the most annoying fan base that traveled?
The Niners.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to make that place theirs.
Not even
they
close.
They would cuck SoFi. That's what
it was.
It
was a lot of them, and they were obnoxious. That's the thing. Okay. Like, not only because like the Lions had a lot of people, but they weren't like obnoxious. They were just rooting for their team. Like, it was right. so many fights after that game. Like, you hear that it's that one Niner fan that's in a coma right now.
Well, that's the same thing with Dodgers, Giants.
Right.
I mean,
this is that new shit of that. Yeah, good
Brian
point,
Snow a Giant fan?
Was
well,
what?
I mean, there was fights. You remember when the McCourts owned everybody and they, like, basically got rid of all the security in the parking lot?
Right.
And then, like, within 5 minutes, dudes are getting curb stomped everywhere.
Right. That dude got
Brian
shanked.
Brian Snow, remember that one dude that got beat up at Dodger Stadium? Wasn't he a Giants fan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
You know.
And that dude got stabbed in the outfield, too, like in the bleacher seat. Some dude got fucking
shanked. You know,
yep.
Dude, first of all,
and he was just wearing
zero interest in going to an away game for any of my teams, and I love my teams. I have zero interest.
I've been to a lot.
I have no interest. Oh, I'm going to go watch this team, and I'm going to dress up in my team's shit and then show up.
And talk shit.
Enemy.
I wear my shit under.
When I go to Dodger games, I always bring like a hooded sweatshirt or something I can throw on at the end and zip that bitch up.
That's what I did. I went to a Falcons.
I wear my shit under.
I got my shit under that. I know it's down there. I don't need
Superman.
To fucking.
I'm like, yep.
Dude, worst you know what else I ever you do? Had was Atlanta on the road. Atlanta.
I tell you what else you do. Here's what you do. Okay, I'm at a fucking. I got my Falcons jersey on, but I got my coat over it, so I know it's down there. I'm in Oakland State, and all Raiders fans, Raiders. Oakland's got the ball. They get a first down, let's say. Crowd is clapping for the first down. I'm clapping with them, but I'm saying under my breath, good tackle.
you're an idiot. Dude, Stacey Ogman put me in a headlock one time at a Falcons game. It was him and, like, his girlfriend or something. They were sitting
behind me. Stacey Ogman of
Plastic
the
Man, yeah.
UNLV?
That's UNLV? Right.
Yeah.
Dude, Sam's going to shit his pants. Right
he
now.
Was with his girl. He was with his girl at a Falcons game that we got. We had tickets. We had 4 tickets for the upper deck, but 2 of our friends bailed. So when we got there, scalping is regulated in Charlotte. It's not in Atlanta, though. Anybody can do it. And so some dude took our 4 tickets, gave us 2 tickets that weren't in the same place, took our money, and just started running, just ran away. So then we had 2 tickets that were in different places, and we're like, oh, we're fucked. So then we found another dude right by the stadium, looked real official and everything, another guy. And we said, hey, I'll give you these 2 tickets if you can just give us 2 tickets that are okay in a decent spot. And he did. And at this point, I'm like $600 in the hole from when I walked in. So we get to the stadium, and this was the first year, dude. They didn't even do it in Charlotte, but this was the first year they started doing it in Atlanta. They scanned the tickets, and it goes, dang, 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 dang. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And, dude, they tell us to wait there, and this guy comes out with, like, handcuffs and a badge. And we're in high school.
Wow.
And it's like, I'm going to need you boys to come with me. And we walk, and it's like a 10-minute walk. We're in the bowels of the Georgia.
You're crying.
Dude.
You're literally just crying.
My friend is crying. I look over, and my buddy is crying, bro. And we go, they had under the Georgia Dome, they had, like, jail cells and
oh,
shit.
I bet they
and
do.
And we're walking by him, and we go in his office, and he sits there. He won't sit down, boys. And I mean, like, really, it's an interrogation, dude. When we got all our Panthers gear on, we're at the Jordan, and we're like, oh, fuck, he's going to fuck with us. And it turned out he worked for, like, the postal inspector's office or something like that, basically like a federal office. And they were stolen out of the mail. It was a federal offense. The tickets were stolen out of the mail. And then, thankfully, they were good to us. They offered to let us buy tickets directly from the Falcons in the player section.
$600. They should have given you goddamn tickets.
No, they let us buy them. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, they're so
yeah, they
nice.
Should. Yeah, they should have given.
Right.
Them. Yeah, you're
they're
right.
They're so nice. We're gonna let you buy these $600 tickets.
Yeah, and then so I was in at like $1,000, and I mean, dude, money I didn't have in high school. Money I was broke. It fucked me.
Money
and then,
you don't have now.
But
now, yeah. Johnny, didn't you say that you learned a lesson, and that's not to buy scalp tickets off black guys? Is that what you said before?
Not during Black History Month, Johnny. No,
and then,
but
then sitting behind me was Stacey Ogman, this girl he was dating, who was like a gymnast or something in the Olympics, or like a sprinter or something like that. And that was the game. Do you remember that game where Michael Vick went like horizontal, like going in the end zone?
Yeah. Oh,
that was that game that it broke our hearts. Yeah, and we went back basically weeping all the way back to Charlotte.
What's the score, dude?
Can I say this to all the ladies listening? There you go. all the ladies listening, if you get want to get into athletics,
ladies, all the single ladies,
you want to get into athletics of any kind, that was Johnny's story. It's running. Run. All these other sports aren't going to keep you from getting in trouble. But there's a lot of sexual predators out there. And if you're good at running, you'll always be safe. Okay, guys. Now back to the show.
Bum, 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 bum.
Depends on who's trying to get you.
That is also true.
All right. Well, it's 12, hour and a half show.
You got anything you want to plug? Oh, by the way, it was great seeing all of you guys live and in person. Sam was wonderful. Finally getting to meet your beautiful daughters. I came back briefly, and I got to see everybody's babies and all the dogs I haven't fucking seen. Yeah, I was in, I was out, but I finally got to meet Sam's beautiful daughters. I finally got to see Pollyanna again.
We had the worst round of golf in the history of fucking golf.
I don't even want to talk about that.
This motherfucker brings his own clubs.
What? Of course he does.
He's on the PG. You brought your own clubs?
Jason, we've already been over this. Club? We've already been over this. Two take Tripoli. That's what they call them. Two take Tripoli. Yeah, I brought my own.
I got some shows coming up.
Come yeah, plug me. What you got. Let's do some dates out the gates. I want to hear what Kareem's got.
Dates out of the way gates.
Dates out of the way gates.
So I
dates
got
dates out
a,
the lates.
Dates out of the lates, Johnny. 10 years in, rebranding it. Dates out of the lates. You talk about Chucky White.
Here we go. Oh, Chucky White. Oh, you're going to talk at Chucky White's dinner table.
Rest in peace.
Dates out of the lates.
Rest in peace, dude. Is there any more heartbreaking than that, dude? Like, I mean, just every role he's in, it's like, I don't care, dude. That guy was a great actor, dude.
Chucky White. Michael K. Williams. Big time.
You talking about Chucky White? Oh, you're going to talk to me at Chucky White's dinner table.
That will never get old. I got a big show February 19th live in Las Vegas with the one, the only, Brian Callen. Mano y mano. Everybody's karate chopping. Then I'm doing the Hammer of the Gods tour. It's going up. I have three nights right in a row. I'm going New Orleans on February 24th. I'm doing Nashville February 25th. And then I'm doing Jefferson, Georgia, February 26th. Go to samtripoli.com for all your tickets.
Whoop, whoop.
Kareem, what do you got coming up, buddy? What do you want to plug?
Hey, just follow me on IG, man. Scan right here. You know what I'm saying?
Hold it a little closer, Kareem. It's going to be real small. There. Yeah, up a little bit. Like in front of your face. It's kind of getting mixed into the back.
Yeah, right in front of your face. There you go.
Oh, that's cool.
But just follow at Kareem Matthews. His Instagram is great. I got a couple of things I want to plug, guys. Thank you to everybody that came out to my show with Marilyn Rice Cub. That was great. It sold out another one. So thank you to her. She did great. Everybody that performed did great.
Do you have her number?
Yeah. It's a 323-257-1419. Don't call that number. I have no idea whose number that is, you fucking maniacs. Guys, I got a couple gigs I want to plug. February 35th, I'll be at Glory Glory Hallelujah in Alexandria, Washington. I'll be signing merch after I sit on the bucket. So, guys, come get your cock sucked. Then I'll be a Dick Dick Goose for the big Bobble for Balls Snack Fest. It's BYOBFBFBS, which is Bring Your Own Blindfold for the Bobbing for Ball Sacks. Guys, that's going to be a blast. Then, big announcement. All this summer, I'm doing my MLK tour. Which I'm going to all 12 major cities on Martin Luther King Boulevard, and I'll be selling fake Jordans. So, guys, come to all of those. Thanks.
Kareem, you got anything?
Just follow me. Follow me. I just put it
where,
up.
Where, Kareem?
Just put
ever
it up.
Since I got kicked off of Instagram, I don't know what you're... What
follow
is it?
That, yo.
Okay, we can't see it the other way. There we go. Kareem at what? Just say it. Kareem Matthews. At Kareem Matthews.
Kareem.Matthews. Kareem.Matthews on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pornhub. Follow your boy.
Well, Kareem.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I know, just give me one little quick one because we haven't talked about this. Ari Shaffir getting punched.
What happened?
Rappaport apparently
Rappaport saw Ari and punched him.
Really?
Yeah, and I heard about it, and I didn't know if it was true or false. And then I was at Market Lounge Valparaiso, Indiana, headlining last couple weekends. And I was there, and the guy that was opening for me goes, is it true that Ari Shaffir got? And I go, man, you're the third fucking person. And I texted Ari and said, is it true that Yeah. And he goes, yeah, he walked up to me and didn't punch me. And I just laughed at him.
Wow.
That was literally it.
No,
fuck Michael Rappaport, by the way. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him, dude.
And I said, I hate that guy.
Listen, I have respect for that in a weird way because I'm tired of all these fucking shit talkers who run. So in a weird way, I respect that. But it's like, what, dude, what is wrong with you, dude? Like, what the fuck is wrong? Where did he do this at?
I don't know yet. I don't know. This just happened. I just found out. And then I said to him, I fucking hate that guy.
By the way, 10-year anniversary coming up in 9 days of Punch Drunk.
Yeah, I hear, Jason, you're ending the show?
I was thinking about doing a live one at Skank Fest with everybody that'll be there. And then just have that be the last one, maybe.
I mean, I like talking sports. I mean, I'll do it as often. I like talk. I don't want to end the show. I like to talk when I can. Sometimes
well, I told Jason what we should do is tell everybody, like, kind of like ditto, kiddo.
And then we do it then the next day. Okay, we'll be.
Yeah,
you know, the king of that is
for now.
Yeah,
dude.
But regardless, Skankfest, we should do a live on everybody's.
92. I went to the Rolling Stones final tour, their goodbye tour in 92.
That's amazing. Were they really calling it that
this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
My buddy Tony Roadball, God rest his soul, was like, listen, dude, this is probably their last tour. That's their final tour. You should go see them while you can. I'm like, fuck yeah. And I saw what I thought was the greatest live song at that time I'd ever seen, which was Sympathy for the Devil. It was the most insane. The only thing that's beaten it are these insane light shows of Nine Inch Nails and Tool when they did songs. And then when I was on acid watching Prophets.
That doesn't count.
But in terms of just singing and no theatrics, Sympathy of the Devil is the greatest song I've ever seen performed live.
Who does the backing part? You know,
bye, guys. Go Clippers.
Kareem, I love you. Good luck, Kareem. Good luck in the Super Bowl, buddy. I'll be thinking about
you. Thank you, guys. I'll be back going to talk about the victory if you want me to.
I hope so, buddy. Good luck. Good luck to you, man. I know you're a true fan.
Johnny, when you hang up,
stay
on. I want to say something to
you. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
See you, guys. What are they saying?
Every girl's my girlfriend. Every girl's my girlfriend.
It disturbs me how much Sam loves this song.
He dances like he has special needs.
What are they saying?
Johnny, stop! Just let it rock! These are kids. We're supporting them. If you're a drunk puncher,
what?
Go out, buy this album.
If you want to find this and buy it, it's the
Which
kids
of
Wid Knee High. Let's Get Busy is the name of the album.
Every girl's my girlfriend. Every girl's my girlfriend.
Just gonna fade that out.
I'm gonna put this to vote. Should this be the new Punch Drunk theme song?